Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to Franchise Interviews, where we're asking the franchisepreneur who owns one. I'm your host, Marty McDermott, with my co-host, Don Johnson. And if you've ever dreamed of owning your own business, then you've come to the right place. We have a great show this morning. We're meeting with Tamara Loring of the AvaCoach Franchise Opportunity. And AvaCoach specializes in coaching, advising, mentoring, training, and facilitating business solutions to companies at every stage of the business process. And that's coming up in Segment 2 of Franchise Interviews. So stick around, because we've got a great show.
Franchise Interviews. For over 2 years now, Franchise Interviews has been giving you an up-close, behind-the-scenes look at franchising and entrepreneurship.
Through our website, franchiseinterviews.com, where you can hear and read interviews, as well as get tips from some of the most successful sources in franchising.
And our weekly franchise radio show, where each week you get to hear a new interview with franchisors, franchisees, franchise authors, experts, and attorneys.
And our free franchise newsletter, which is a must-read for anyone looking to buy a franchise.
And don't forget to listen to our podcast, Great Quotes in Franchising. For more information, go to franchiseinterviews.com or call us at 610-905-2919.
That's 610-905-2919.
Hi, everyone, and welcome back to Franchise Interviews, where we're asking the franchisepreneur who owns one. I'm your host, Marty McDermott, with my co-host, Don Johnson. And if you've ever dreamed of owning your own business, then you've come to the right place. Hey, Don, good morning. How you doing today?
Good. Doing fine, Marty. How about you this week?
Good, good. It's nice to be back, you know, from Chicago. Right. I know you also had a busy week last week. This is like your, what, 10th, 11th day working in a row, so
The trade show, the West Coast Expo in L.A., which was Friday through Sunday, a great show, one of the largest trade shows of the year, and our company, Diamond Financial, exhibits there. And we were very popular, of course, being in financing.
Right.
So, you know, it's good to see a bunch of clients and then people I haven't met. A lot of my suppliers and vendors to the company are there. And just a good show. The traffic, I understand, was a little lighter than previous years. I guess understandable with the state of the economy. But a lot of franchisors overall were happy. I guess there was some pretty good quality there. I guess a lot of people had done their homework, something we talk about when you're going to the franchise show as an investor. Just be ready and be prepared and
absolutely
know that franchise, know your financing situation. So, it's a good show, but it is hard work. You're on your feet a lot.
It sounds like you lost your voice while you were there, too,
right.
Don.
Yeah.
Which is tough, you know. It's I know your voice is important to have when you're at those shows, you know, but you do a lot of talking and things of that nature. So,
I think
that's
some people
fantastic.
Sometimes are happy when I lose my voice, when I talk a little less.
There you go, right?
Yeah.
Well, as you know, I was in Chicago last week. It was nice that we had the timing was perfect. You know, I was at the Collegiate Entrepreneurs Organization's National Conference, and this year I think they had a record turnout. It was 1,600 attendees and students from all over the United States and some of the biggest universities. And of course, I was there representing the Kaplan University Collegiate Entrepreneurs Organization. And I was asked to make a presentation on franchising, and it just went very, very well. It was just interesting to present the topic of franchising to a lot of these young, aspiring entrepreneurs, because, you know, a lot of them really aren't familiar with franchising. You know, when they think of franchising, right, they think of Subway and McDonald's and Burger King, you know. And the message that I sent to them in the beginning was that, you know, there's a lot of different industries franchising. You have shoe repair franchises and billboard franchises and,
right,
you know, you name it. They really have it today. There's over 3,000 different types of systems. So I think that really surprised them, you know, to hear that. Threw a lot of these statistics about franchising as well at them, you know, as far as the success rates and things like that. But the message is always, you know, that franchising certainly isn't for everybody. You know, if you're very, very entrepreneurial, well, then perhaps you might want to be the franchisor, not the franchisee, you know. So,
right,
just
a great
time.
Job. How are your nerves getting up speaking in front of a couple hundred people?
It was very nerve-wracking. The first day I had to do it, you know, I just I really was a little terrified at first, you know, and then I just got up there and just started talking. I mean, again, this is something that, you know, you and I have been exposed to for the last 10 years. So I said, God, if I can't talk about this now after 10
right.
years of doing it, you know, it's and
you
I had a nice
industry, so.
Yeah, and I had a gentleman
like what you're talking. Yeah.
Exactly. There was a gentleman from the IFA and he got up, you know, after the presentation. He said it was one of the best presentations he's ever heard on the topic of franchising. He said it was a true picture as far as what franchising actually is. So kind of really boosted my ego, you know. The next day I had to do it. It just went even better, you know. So it was a lot of fun. I'm looking forward to doing it again next year. It was in this massive conference center. I mean, you think that Jacob Javits is big? I mean, this convention center is just overwhelming. It's like five buildings, actually. So there's a lot of different conferences going on at the same time. So, you know, they're really...
franchise show was in Chicago. I haven't been to that.
I would imagine. That's what, you know, you and I were talking about that. I don't know why they haven't had a big show there because, I mean, I tell you, that would be the place to do it. It
right.
really was a hot spot, you know. And one of the things I spoke about that people were very interested in was this, I don't know if you remember when we had Nick Bibby. Now, Nick Bibby was like almost like 100 shows ago. I think he was like our fifth show. And he spoke about this thing called entrepreneurial types. You know, I spent a lot of time talking about that as well. Like you have the entrepreneur, you have the franchisee, you have a business opportunity, and then you have the franchisor on the other end of the entrepreneurial scale, you know. And just basically emphasizing that the genetic makeup is very, very different. But the franchisee and franchisor are certainly very dependent on each other for success. So just went really well. And but it's always good to be back home, though, that's for sure.
Right.
Missed doing the show last week, so... So
right back on it today, yeah.
There we go, and this is show 99 in the 2 years. Next week is our 100th show, so I think you and I have been talking about that for a while now. He said, God, imagine when we get to the 100th show mark. It just seemed like impossible, but here we are already. You know, it's just gone by so fast, and we've had some of the biggest names in franchising on the show, so I couldn't be happier with the way the show has went. Here's a quick announcement, Don. Actually, there's two quick ones. You remember our friends at Miami Rice Pudding Company, Ken McGevy. Their franchise was actually featured on ABC News in Scottsdale, Arizona. And Ken sent me a clip of it, and just people trying Miami Rice Pudding. Now, if you remember, when we had them on the show, Ken sent me samples.
Right.
And it truly was out of this world. I mean, it's one of those products that you try and you say, oh, my God, this is really the best thing. Incredible.
I'll send them an email after the show that you mention them again. I'm sure more samples will come.
Come, kissing up to Ken, you know. But as I said, it was the last thing I needed because it was just, you know, he sent so much of it. And we were just going crazy. I think I gained 5 pounds that week, you know, from eating all of it. But it was just incredible. Also, the New England Franchise Association, they're having their next meeting on Tuesday, November 18th, and that's run by our friend Jim Cohen. And I think the topic, they're going to have people from the U.S. Small Business Administration there this year to talk about financing and things like that, things that you're very used to because that's the business you're in. So just thought we should mention that as well. So what do we got going on today and over the next, I guess, couple months? And I know you had a couple interesting things you wanted to announce as well.
Well, I guess today we're having Tamara Loring on the show from AdviCoach. As an advisor, the AdviCoach will provide you with rapid impact solutions to help overcome obstacles and move your business to the next level. So we're interested in finding all about their company and how they help other companies. Next week you mentioned the 100th show. I think that's going to be a two-hour show too, right, Marty?
It's going to be a two-hour show. I mean, the good news is there's going to be a lot of clips and highlights from the last 2 years of doing the show. So we won't be speaking the whole time, thank God, you know.
Right.
So, I mean, we'll hear from people like Warren Gresius. We'll hear from, of course, Michael Gerber talking about his new book. We'll have John Hewitt. Who else? Just a lot of big names. Jim Rudolph, we have something from him as well, you know, so we have this compilation. Yeah, I mean, it's just some incredible quotes. And you know, the interesting thing, not to go back to the show I did last week, Don, but I used a lot of the material that we got from doing the show over the last 2 years. You know, I really found our show, and this is as a college professor, I found our show to be, you know, most informative out of all the sources that are out there. I used 3 or 4 quotes from the show over the last 2 years, and people were really fascinated with that. So I think we picked up a lot of listeners as well.
Right.
For the
show. Well, I mean, not counting today, 9,800 hours of franchise information and material and quotes and guests and experts, a lot of stuff there.
A lot of information.
So good, yeah. So the next week, the 100th show, it's a milestone. And then in December, Marty, we have a few franchises, franchise 10 till 2.
Mm-hmm.
Then we have Valpak on December 11th. December 18th, we have Cousins Subs. So, you know, we'll finish out the year with some other interesting concepts. So
Valpak, by the way, was in Chicago, just so you know. They're actually there at the show. They actually sponsored the conference that I went to last year, and the gentleman was really, really nice. He didn't even know they were coming on the show, so it was funny. You know, I was talking to him, and he said, God, I'd love to come on your show. And I said, well, you know, I think you're coming on in December, actually. I had to look at the schedule, you know. And we also booked some shows for January, and we're booking for February now as well. We booked a franchise that you're familiar with. It's was it Jersey Mike's Subs?
Right.
I guess you're
okay,
familiar
great.
With them. We booked them in February, you know. I think we have January booked as well. We'll have to put that up on the website.
Yeah, New Jersey-based franchise. They're nationwide. They're very successful. They're a client of ours with financing, so that's great.
Good.
Coming up,
we got a lot going on over the next year, so it's going to be very exciting. So the next 100 shows are even going to be more exciting, so looking forward to that.
Definitely. Okay.
Actually, we should probably talk about our last show. You know what? I almost skipped over that. We met with Shirley was it Warrington, right, of the Decor and You franchise opportunity. And I thought it was a very great concept. I was a little unfamiliar with it because it's not my background, but nevertheless, I thought it was a great franchise opportunity. Did you have any thoughts on last week's, 2 weeks ago show?
you have to
kind of go back in your memory.
A couple of weeks ago, yeah. My mom's in the industry. She enjoyed the show, and I liked speaking with her. She was, you know, I guess they're also part of the FBSI with eSource, part of the eMyth, and Michael Gerber. I think that was a good connection that they've made to really grow the company nationwide.
Yeah, it's a strong partnership.
And you know, it's one of those franchises, it's like a feel-good business. You know, you're helping people, businesses to decorate. And I guess one of their slogans is love the space you're in. And it's a $200 billion industry. It's just huge, interior decorating and design.
Yeah, she used a lot of clever quotes or words. She used like the words like staycation. I thought that was very clever. I think I've used that word several times since we've had Shirley on the show. I thought that was clever. They were featured in Realtor Magazine in February of 2008. Some of the notes that I took, I think using their service, Don, I think it makes it so much easier to sell your home. You know, it's if you go on the Decor and You website, I mean, it's just really incredible, the work that they do, you know. And it's not something that anyone can do, you know. It's not like a weekend job, you know. I mean, a lot of thought, and I think it's a very intimidating process as well, you know, especially when you go in your neighbor's homes and you see how, like, decorated it is, you know. You say, oh, my God, you know, they're so talented, but chances are they used a franchise like the Decor and You, you know, to help them decorate it. And I think it'll also must be, like, it's a feel-good kind of franchise as well. It must be a rewarding feeling to be able to come into someone's home, you know, and enhance it and make it better, and just have your home be a fun place to be, you know. And I think all the decorators
and the questions, and the questions about what characteristics do you look for in a franchisee? You know, she gave an answer we hear a lot, but it's true. You know, follow the system,
right?
You want people who want to run a business, who want to take that chance, and having interpersonal skills, I think, is obviously very important in this type of business when you're dealing with your clients.
Yeah, it's amazing how often that response comes up, you know, is that they are just looking for people with strong interpersonal skills, because if the system is strong, you know, I mean, that's basically, you can teach someone anything, really, I think, you know.
Right.
Again, being a professor, I mean, that's the easy part. It's the interpersonal skills, I think, that people sometimes need work at, you know, and I think that's what they look for. And all their decorators are also certified, which I thought was important as well, you know, that there's extensive training. I love all the training that's going on today, you know, with all the technology involved. It just seems like franchisees are getting more training today than ever. You know, if I think you go back in the history of franchising, 25 years ago, before the internet, you know, you didn't really get this kind of training, you know, where today you have online training and webinars and all sorts of things. So you really
right.
become an expert at your craft, you know. So I think the franchisees
right.
are so much smarter today than they were years ago. So which is very interesting.
Here's something, Marty, I guess we'll get into an article, very interesting article through the Wall Street Journal, Franchising the Year in Review. It's by Julie Bennett, you know, our friend.
You know Julie? And you saw her
yeah.
at the show, didn't you?
So we're at the show also, yeah. The title is Recession-Resistant Businesses Succeed. It starts off, when the tech bubble burst and the recession of 2002 set in, former computer company manager Terry Ladd of San Francisco decided it was time to do something else. So he became a franchisee of Philadelphia-based Certapro Painters. Mr. Ladd, who has grown his painting business to 47 employees, 9 vehicles, and over $4 million in annual revenues, expects to do just fine during the current downturn.
Hmm.
Many franchise businesses in the service sector do well during tough economic times, and some even thrive. Daryl Johnson, CEO of FranData in Arlington, Virginia, a franchise research and consulting firm, says the fate of franchises during the next several months depends on whether consumers view their services as discretionary or necessary. Opinions vary about what is necessary during a downturn, Mr. Johnson says, but many people consider services and support related to their family, such as child, senior and pet care, and home repairs and maintenance like painting, floor covering, plumbing, electric, and lawn care as more necessary than discretionary.
Interesting.
Other franchise categories that should do well are automotive repair, hair salons, dollar stores, resale shops, and franchises that provide services like consulting, tax advice, and equipment leasing to other businesses. Because credit is so tight, Mr. Johnson says that franchisors with lower startup fees or with programs to help new franchisees find financing are more attractive than systems that require newcomers to find their own money. That's interesting.
Good.
That's
that
the
is
business
interesting.
I'm in. Here are some examples of recession-resistant franchises. Certapro CEO Charlie Chase says that many of its 339 North American franchisees are like Mr. Ladd, former middle managers who can cover the franchise's total investment of $119,000 to $144,000 with personal savings or home equity loans. Our total sales from January through September are up 6% compared with the same time last year, says Mr. Chase. During the last recession, we lost some residential customers, but our commercial customers were still buying because they have to keep up the appearances of their stores.
That's interesting, isn't it? Yeah.
He says being a painting contractor may not be sexy. Mr. Ladd, who has an MBA, but I'm using all the skills I developed in business school, setting up management and accounting systems, recruiting, production scheduling, dealing with a complex regulatory environment, sales and marketing. The recession looks a little scary, but I see it as an opportunity to capture some good talent and negotiate a better space for my business. And that's interesting. During a tougher times, more people might be out of work. Franchisors might be able to find, you know, better franchisees. Like,
true.
Like maybe there's more people available.
Right.
And then it seems like it's more of a market for people looking to find space. Landlords are, you know, it's probably a little rougher, and there's more space available. So in certain franchise systems, yeah.
Right, there would be more commercial space available, I would suspect. And we've had actually several guests on the show say that there is more commercial space available. I don't have any hard data to prove that. But same thing with even hiring employees, Don. I think you spoke about that a week or two ago, that it's easier to get employees for your franchise because there's been a lot more people,
I guess,
laid off or downsized. You know, I guess the question is how long will they stay with you? But it is interesting. I think there is probably a bigger market of going back to your word, forced entrepreneurship. You know, it's absolutely. It's a good point.
That's interesting. I guess, we're very high on, you know, having a franchise consultant help you find a franchise system. I guess even they have to adjust
right.
to a tougher recession and what's more of the services, the type of products that people are needing. And that's maybe where they're pushing more people towards, you know, whatever's the right fit for that person.
Absolutely. Interesting.
Goes on, Marty. Sales are up 8% this year at Bob Bell 7 Pittsburgh area Great Clips hair salons. Mr. Bell, who was downsized out of corporate human resources position in 03, says he was enticed by Great Clips' low cost, total investments between 150 and 160. Their low failure rate, very little inventory, and no accounts receivable because everybody pays cash. Regular customers who are struggling now may stretch out time between visits, he says, but that's offset by new customers who are leaving full-service salons for his lower-priced haircuts. He's got 75 employees, expects to reach $2 million in sales this year, plans to open up two more Great Clips. Rob Goggins, who we've had on the show, he's at a different company. He's the VP Franchise Development for a Minneapolis-based Great Clips, says his 26-year-old company has a long relationship with three national lenders who are willing to finance new franchisees. And I'm in the business. I know how lenders have tightened up, how things are rougher, people getting financing. Great Clips now has over 1,000 franchisees running over 2,700 hair salons throughout the U.S. and Canada. Since the economic downturn started, he's had so many new franchise applications that it's difficult to keep up, he says. It's interesting.
Wow, that's fascinating. That's
people
interesting.
Yeah.
No, I was going to say that. You know, I think, too, you know, in times like this, I mean, I think a lot of franchisees or even just business in general, I think they're a lot more tight, you know. I mean, I think they make more careful decisions. You know, I think a lot of business has, I mean, take any business, there's some waste sometimes involved, you know what I mean? It perhaps you reassess your advertising that you're doing or just, but I think times like this, I think you just work a little harder, you know, and you make better decisions.
Right.
You're a little more careful. So I think, you know, for you to say, you know, that, you know, return on investment is up sometimes or sales are up 6% or whatever that may be,
right.
I think that has a lot to do with it. I think what it does is it makes you work harder as well, you know. So
not only that, I mean, you always got to be adjusting during good or bad times, but this is the advantage of a franchise system where, you know, someone might not have all that experience and savviness. You can rely on the franchisor and corporate to maybe make recommendations and help you out if things are rough or if your sales are down or whatever the case.
Yeah. With a franchise, I mean, it's true. I mean, with a franchise, you don't have to, I hate to say this, but you don't have to think as hard. You know what I mean? Because all the thinking has been done for you. And also you have to go back to, you know, we had a podcast this week with Jim Rudolph of Rita's, and, you know, Jim said on the podcast, you know, you really have to trust the franchisor and you have to respect the franchisor, you know, especially in times like this, trust them, you know. I mean, they've been through this. Chances are they've been through these kind of times anyway, you know what I mean? So it's not anything new to them. So certainly another great advantage to buying a franchise or owning a franchise, absolutely.
Right. Let me go on a little bit. Very interesting article. People may seek cheaper haircuts during a recession, but they still want the best for their children and pets. Joe Kirchner, CEO of educational child care provider Primrose Schools out of Georgia, says enrollment in the chain's 197 franchise schools has been stable. Revenues for schools that have been up and running for at least 2 years are up 4.8% for the first 8 months of this year compared with the same period last year. Like Great Clips, Primrose, which provides educational daycare for children to age 6 and after-school care for children ages 12 at fees of up to $250 per week, has a long-term relationship with a lender that helps franchisees finance new schools, which cost between, this is over $3 million investment for this franchise. Franchisee Joyce Conrad says enrollment is still full, and for the Primrose School, she and her husband, Michael, and another couple operate in the Dallas area, but declined in their two schools in Texas. McKinney, this is Conrad says, was a particularly fast-growing city until the housing bubble burst, halting both new home sales and the arrival of new families with Primrose-aged tots. Nonetheless, she and her partners feel the dip is temporary and are planning to build two more schools, including another one in her area, after the economy improves. During times of stress, pet owners need more emotional support from their pets, says Paul Manfred, founder and CEO of Fetch Pet Care in Berkeley, California. And they spend even more money on them than usual. Makes sense, I guess. Maybe smaller type of outlay of cash. Mr. Mann, who started his pet care franchise in 2002 when he couldn't find sitters for his own pets, now has 200 franchisees in 1,800 communities. He's opening another 10 new units each month. Total investment's about $19,000. Franchisees can work from home. 56% of franchisees keep their day jobs, and another 19% work part-time. Deborah Jack of Fort Lee, New Jersey, left her job as the ad sales director of a financial publication 15 months ago to run her Fetch Pet Care franchise full-time. Although she had a lot of wonderful clients on Wall Street, Ms. Jack says she finds her new occupation more rewarding.
Right. That's interesting. You know, I feel on that, though. I mean, if you're going to buy a franchise, I think that you should get into it full-time. You know, I think to do it part-time. For me, it doesn't make sense. You know, I think you should just go for it, you know, and I think we've had other guests on the show say the same thing. You know, I think that's very important, because I even had some people at the conference ask me that, saying, you know, is something I can get into part-time? And I typically said no to them.
Right.
You know, I said I would just go for
right.
it. You know, I mean, you know,
well,
put
I mean,
70
it
hours
can be the initial transition, but you have to do it with the goal that you're going to be full-time. If it's initially just to, you know, like easily, you know, get into it, but
right.
certainly you can't look to do that long-term. As soon as it's got to be full-time, it's the only way to find success.
Absolutely. Well, it's a great article. Why don't we'll take a quick break here, Don, and we'll be right back with more franchise interviews.
Franchise interviews. For over 2 years now, Franchise Interviews has been giving you an up-close, behind-the-scenes look at franchising and entrepreneurship.
Through our website, franchiseinterviews.com, where you can hear and read interviews, as well as get tips from some of the most successful sources in franchising.
And our weekly franchise radio show, where each week you get to hear a new interview with franchisors, franchisees, franchise authors, experts, and attorneys.
And our free franchise newsletter, which is a must-read for anyone looking to buy a franchise.
And don't forget to listen to our podcast, Great Quotes in Franchising. For more information, go to franchiseinterviews.com or call us at 610-905-2919.
That's 610-905-2919.
Hi, everyone, and welcome back to Franchise Interviews, where we're asking the franchipreneur loves one. I'm your host, Marty McDermott, with my co-host, Don Johnson. And if you've ever dreamed of owning your own business, then you've come to the right place. We have a great show today, Don. We're meeting with Tamara Loring of the AvaCoach Franchise Opportunity. And AvaCoach specializes in coaching, advising, mentoring, training, and facilitating business solutions to companies at every stage of the business process. Hey, Tamara, good morning. Welcome to the show.
Good morning. How are you? Thank you for having me
Tamara.
On the show.
Oh, you're welcome, Tamara. Thank you. Tamara, joining us is my co-host, Don Johnson, and I know, Don, you wanted to say good morning to Tamara.
Hi, Tamara. Good morning. We both appreciate you, of course, coming on the show. It must be a pretty good time to be in your business right now with a little rougher economy. A lot of companies need help out there, right?
Oh, my goodness. Do you know what? I would say the time has never been better to be an AvaCoach, but, you know, my heart goes out to all the companies that don't know where to turn, you know, in this type of an economy. And, you know, it's kind of nice to be the beacon of hope at the end of the tunnel, the light at the end of the tunnel, saying, you know what, don't despair right now. This is not the time to throw in the towel. You know, there are possibilities out there, and we can absolutely help you be successful. So, yes, the time has never been better.
Absolutely, I agree. Tamara, we always like to start off asking our guests, where are you calling from this morning?
Sure, absolutely. I'm actually located at the Franchise Source Brands International Performance Enhancement Center, and that is right here in Southbury, Connecticut.
Oh, good. And I know it's a beautiful time of year there in Southbury, actually. I guess the leaves are changing colors, and probably not pretty out there
and
today, though.
It's starting to become a little frigid, but it's definitely nice and cold outside.
That's true. That's true. Winter's right around the corner, I know. Tamara, what were you doing before joining AvaCoach?
Gosh, how far back should I go? Well, I was born and bred in an entrepreneurial family, so entrepreneurship is definitely something that is very familiar to me and something that, is near and dear to my heart. But then as far as career-wise, I actually started off my career in the hospitality industry and was very attracted to the human resources departments, always where I could help individuals become better and get on a career path. And I remember thinking one day, how neat would it be if I could help people, you know, just accomplish the American dream? And it's kind of, you know, be careful what you wish for. And hence, I found Franchise Source Brands International. And as you know, we're a conglomerate of brands where we help people get in business for themselves, and we help people then become successful once they're in business. So, you know, I think I'm in the perfect organization for exactly that.
Absolutely.
Right, so you've been consulting for years. This has been right up your alley for many years.
It sounds like it.
Oh, gosh, yes.
But it's a feel good too. I was going to say that it's a feel good too business. I think to marry. I mean to really make such a positive impact on these people's lives is really when we had Decor and You on the show a couple weeks ago. I thought that was also a feel good franchise. You know what I mean? You're really making a big impact on people's lives. So it's I think it's a great opportunity.
And then I think if you're able to help that business, if you help that business, I mean, you're almost like a client for life, right, Tamara?
Oh, absolutely. And you know what? And maybe the way I entered this business was a little bit different because, I happen to be one of Terry Powell, who is the CEO and founder of this organization, says, 75% of the adult population has that desire to want to be self-sufficient or find a better way.
Right.
And I absolutely am part of that 75% of the population thinking, working for somebody else, somebody else's dream just doesn't seem to be the right thing. There has to be a better way. There has to be a better way. And that is how I was attracted to the organization, actually to educate myself, and never realized how gratifying it would be not just to keep this information to myself, but to share it with the rest of the population, because my quest for more information and for a better life is not unique. It's almost a human condition, I think.
Right.
Absolutely.
You mentioned Terry Powell, the founder of the company. Maybe talk a little bit more about the history of AdvoCoach.
Oh, I would love to. I mean, it started with his dream. As I mentioned, Terry recognized in the early 80s that most people, as a matter of fact, he'll say 75% of the population has the desire to want to find a better way. And so 25 years ago, he created the company called The Entrepreneur Source. But even 25 years ago, he knew that the vision was bigger than what he could create at that point in time. So he started off with a business that was about helping people explore what type of business opportunities are out there, with this particular focus on franchising, because they tend to validate very well. They have proven operating systems. So people, especially if you're not an entrepreneur per se and you don't have the next best idea, but if you're willing to follow a proven system, franchising is certainly very attractive. So that is something he did for 25 years. And I joined the organization 6 years ago. And one of my first questions for Terry was, why did you call the company The Entrepreneur Source? And he said, well, Tamara, here's part of the bigger plan that I have. I want to be the source for all things entrepreneurial. So then when we acquired the AdvoCoach brand, I mean, I couldn't have been happier, because now we have coaches focusing on getting people into business, and we have a brand dedicated to making sure that those businesses are successful. So that is the history of how AdvoCoach came to be.
That's great.
So how old specifically did you mention at AdvoCoach is?
I missed the question. What's that?
eSource is 25 years ago. When specifically did Terry start up AdvoCoach? Well, it was an acquisition from another company, it sounds like.
It was an acquisition, that's correct. So, you would think I would know that statistic, but I think it's about three or 4 years ago that we acquired the other brand, and then earlier, well, it wasn't always called AdvoCoach. We rebranded it later on because we thought that the name was better suited to what we were doing. We want to be the business owner's most trusted advisor, the business coach. So that's how the name came about.
Right. And when you're speaking to a franchisee, how do you describe the AdvoCoach franchise system to someone?
Oh, in a nutshell, we have a four-discipline approach that helps create awareness for the business owner. It provides education, and we then hold the business owner accountable to achieving business success. So, I mean, it's definitely oversimplified, but that is ultimately why we exist, because if I look at statistics, and this is according to SCORE, 90% of businesses won't, small businesses won't be around to see their 10th birthday. So when I look at that statistic, I mean, my heart breaks. Nobody goes into business to fail. These are shattered dreams that we're looking at. People go into business with the expectation that maybe they can attain a certain lifestyle, maybe they can make a certain income, maybe they can build wealth and equity. So people go in with those dreams and that desire to want a better life. So then when I know that 9 out of 10 of them will never be able to make that dream come true or see it to fruition, that breaks my heart. And that's why the AdvoCoach services are so essential, because we have a disciplined approach and a systematic approach that recognize the typical dangers all businesses see. And there aren't, I mean, there are tons of industries out there, but all businesses face the same common business dangers. So then we have an approach that is replicatable and duplicatable regardless of the industry or the business size that we're talking about, that our advocates can implement in businesses and make sure that these dreams don't get shattered and people are reconnected with the original vision they had for that business and see it through fruition. So, I mean, talk about a rewarding business, not only a good platform for our advocates to build a business for themselves, but, I mean, look at the economy today and look at the need of our services out there. So, yes, as you said in the beginning, the time could not be better to align yourself with a person such
right.
as an advocate.
Yeah, no, I would
just
definitely
such an
agree
important
that.
Niche and, yeah. and you know, void that you're filling. I mean, that is a scary number, 9 out of 10 going under. If they can only speak to an Advi coach, you know, 6 months to a year prior to that, probably the percentage is much higher that they wouldn't, you know, go out of business. So.
Yeah, I mean, according to SCORE, you know, one of the reasons businesses fail, as a matter of fact, they'll say 70% of the businesses that did fail didn't recognize their weaknesses, or worse yet, they ignored the facts and they didn't seek help. So, again, if we can create awareness that aligning yourself with a business coach can help you through your own blind spots and make sure that you achieve all the levels of success that your business absolutely deserves. So I like to talk to, you know, people looking at the AdvoCoach business model, and I tell them all the time that my belief is, based on that statistic, that we cannot even get AdvoCoaches on the ground fast enough, and we can't even get them trained fast enough to be able to change that statistic. But how neat would it be, you know, Marty or Don, if we as an organization and as AdvoCoaches could change that statistic so that, you
right.
know, let's say fewer and fewer businesses have to, you know, face this uncertain death after 10
right.
years.
Right. No, absolutely. I would totally agree with that. And it looks like, too, Tamara, like when your AdvoCoach advisors or franchisees, when they come in and they're analyzing a business, I guess they're looking at certain areas. I was looking at the website. It looks like you focused on technology, human resources, marketing and sales lead generation and office procurement and operational costs. I guess those are pretty big expenditures for a lot of businesses that are out there.
Right. I mean, those we typically call those the five common business dangers
mm-hmm.
that businesses fail.
Right.
So one of the things that I mentioned that we as AdvoCoaches do is we create awareness. We just show business owners, hey, look, this is based on research. This is what we have found other businesses fail. And most business owners will recognize that, oh, my gosh, yeah, do you know what? Human capital is absolutely an issue for me, especially when you look at small businesses. My husband happens to be a small business owner, too. And, you know, he started off as the technician in his business, and suddenly, you know, he needs to attract a workforce, never did hiring or anything like that before, you know. And most people just trust their gut, but if we can show them a simple process to attract the right talent into your organization,
right.
the type of time, money, and energy you save yourself, besides the headaches, you know, is just astronomical and, again, exponential, too. So those are the types of things that we can help business owners focus on and recognize.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yes, those are that's just one example of the five business dangers.
Yeah, I would agree
you know,
with that.
Ultimately, what
are a couple of the biggest reasons, Tamara, why businesses fail? I mean, you know, you hear lack of capital, maybe not enough marketing or the correct marketing or advertising plan. Those were a couple of the big ones, right?
Yeah, the top five, according to research, is poor leadership. So the person who is at the helm or in charge of the organization never had to develop strong leadership skills. Most small businesses actually evolve, you know, where somebody is the technician in the business, and suddenly they're faced with having to be the leader and show strong leadership skills. So that is one business danger. Underperforming sales is another one where
mm-hmm.
people are either overly optimistic about what they're going to be selling, ineffective marketing or the lack of human capital management and
right.
financial mismanagement, not having a good sense, we like to call them KPIs, of what your key performance indicators are. Most businesses operate from month to month and never look at the vital signs of their business. So again, as
mm-hmm.
an AdvoCoach, we are able to step back and say, if we were to banish you to an island, let's say, for a month, and we told you to, you can only receive a text message once a day, what would those numbers be so that you know that your business is doing well? You know, so most businesses haven't identified what those numbers are, so again, we can help them with that.
Yeah,
don't you think during these times, Tamara, most people would want to just stay on that island? Because an island sounds pretty good, you know. There's beach and ocean. I'm sure there's a, have some fun there. I think during these tough times, I might want to stay a few extra days. But that's,
that sounds like you're talking about yourself,
Don. Exactly. But here's what we want to do for business owners. There's a very systematic approach, you know, from the time you get into business, you know, just worrying about, you know, even making the business profitable, creating a brand for yourself, having that solid foundation. We talk about the five steps to freedom that every business goes through, you know, from the time it's an infant to the time where the business actually has all the systems in place, where it can almost run itself without the business owner being there. Not only is that huge, is that where the business really creates a lot of wealth and equity, because it's actually appealing for somebody who would want to purchase it, but also at that point in time, it's how would you say it? It's franchisable, I guess. So it takes on a whole new life of its own, and that's what we help business owners towards. So really, even if you're in a business that is not in danger of facing the five business dangers I spoke about, we can still help the business reach that level where, you know, the business owner can be on an island, and if he decides to stay another month, it won't impact the business at all.
That's interesting. Yeah, and I suspect a lot of these business owners that are one of the businesses that fail tomorrow, I suspect they're working in the business and not on the business. You know, and by using your type of service, it does provide accountability and discipline. And used a powerful word, system. You know, and I know you guys recently had a partnership with Michael Gerber, who Don and I are both very big fans of. So I think that was a nice alignment or partnership by you guys coming together and working with them.
Oh gosh, it's music to my ears. It's, I mean, when you started talking about, you know, working in the business versus working on the business, what a huge paradigm for business owners to recognize actually where they're spending their time and the skills necessary to be successful. So yes, when you said that, you know, I mean, eMyth resonates in my head because that is part of the education that we provide as advocates to our clients, so that they recognize who they're being. Am I the technician, or am I actually taking charge of my business? Am I working on the business? So, yes, we are, I mean, unbelievably excited about our partnership. It's just such a, oh, my goodness, it's just so right. The timing was unbelievable because, I mean, Michael Gerber is all about helping small business owners, and that's what we're about. So when two forces like that come together, it's just, you know, magic happens. It's unbelievable.
Right.
So, and I heard he's going to be your on your show next week.
We actually had the opportunity to have Michael on our show twice already. And it was funny when we started the show, Tamara, you know, someone asked me, he said, if you could interview anybody, who would it be? And I said, Michael Gerber. And to have him on the show twice up to this point has just been overwhelming. He's just an incredible speaker. So I can't imagine how you feel to actually have the opportunity to work with him. It's just got to be an incredible feeling.
Well, for us, it's a great honor because, honestly, we've been as coaches, we've been using the eMyth principles in our coaching with business owners all the time. You know, we help them through the paradigms of, you know, are you working in your business versus on your business? Are you using the business as a vehicle to get to your income, lifestyle, wealth, and equity expectations? So when the eMyth organization approached us and recognized, you know, what we were doing to help small to medium-sized businesses, it was just, I mean, the biggest compliment anybody could have ever given our organization. So, yes, we're unbelievably excited about that.
Yeah, I was speaking at a conference last week, Tamara. 1,600 people there, and you know, that was my parting words was, you know, read the eMyth, revisit it, you know, and you just saw the people writing it down, you know, because not everyone's read it up to this point. This was a younger group, you know, so it's just amazing how the book just continues to sell, but it really has had such a positive impact on so many people's lives, you know, and that's what, you know, AdvoCoach is doing, you know, changing or helping to change a business, it sounds like, into a system, you know, not necessarily that they want a franchise, but, you know, that they could if they wanted to, you know, by as you said, you know, they don't really have to be there. The business owner doesn't have to be at the location, you know, and it could still run on its own. And I think that's just so important. And I think a lot of businesses or small businesses just don't do that, you know, so it really is a great service.
Oh, absolutely. And, yeah, you're right. You know, we take for granted because we live the e-myth every single day that, you know, we think every business owner must have heard of it because it's just, you know, been a bestseller for so many years.
But, exactly.
We find it to be the case that, you know, you're right that many business owners don't know about it, so this is an opportunity for us to educate them on it. And the other thing, I think it's just a timeless book where I've got it on my desk, and I've had it on my desk for years, and every now and then I still pick it up and I read, you know, chapters of it again, and something new strikes me depending on where we're at in our business also, where I realize this is just one of those books you can read over and over and over again just to improve efficiencies of your organization. So
yeah, I would agree with that.
It's a great book.
Yeah, I know, Don, you've read it several times, haven't you, up to this point?
Yeah.
I know you've read it, you know, two or three times, you know, and I know a lot of people do that. They just, you know, every year they pick it up and just, you know, read it again. It's just, as Tamara said, it's just a timeless book, you know. I mean, it's just, it'll make sense 20, 30 years from now, you know. So it really is incredible.
That's a reference guide.
Yeah,
you know,
the other thing that's neat about it, too, is what we as agricultures do, we bring the information of the book to our clients in an online format where they can actually take assessments on where their business is at, and we can recognize where the gaps are and where their weaknesses are, and then steer our business owners to go and read on, you know, the different management essentials and fine-tune that skill or that gap that they have in their business right now. So we bring training to them, you know, 24/7, but it's giving that book a whole different dimension through our AdvoCoach approach.
That's fantastic. We're meeting with Tamara Loring of the AdvoCoach Franchise Opportunity. And Tamara, one of the questions that we like to ask our guests now is, what role has technology played in your business or your franchise?
How appropriate. Well, there I love to say that, you know, not only hasn't there ever been a better time to be an AdvoCoach, but I just love the times we're in order for us to leverage technology the way we're leveraging it today. I mean, things that we couldn't have done 10 years ago is just possible today through the Internet and the World Wide Web. So what this has enabled us to do for our franchisees is bring training to them 24/7. We have an online curriculum of new franchisees who are going through the onboarding process, or what we also refer to as pre-training. It's self-paced. And it's online, so it doesn't matter where you are in the world, you can begin that the training process there. And then we bring our new franchisees into our Performance Enhancement Center here, where for 6 days, it's like drinking from a fire hose, I'm sure you've heard that before, where we just really immerse them in the system that they've invested in. And then after they leave the training center here, we then continue with the online curriculum. As a matter of fact, we our system is set up in such a way where we have regional developers reaching out and touching base with our franchisees on a daily basis, not only to check in and see how they're doing, but to see where the gaps are and even model behavior for them if need be. So, you know, sometimes a regional developer will get on a call and show how a meeting is conducted so that our franchisees can have a role model of what a good meeting looks like.
Right.
And then after 90 days in training and online training and support, they come back for the second phase of training, where now, you know, when you're a new franchisee, you just don't know what you don't know. And after getting your feet wet a little bit, you have a whole different frame of reference. So we bring them back, and it's a lot more applicable because now we have real-life scenarios of, you know, what happened while I was out there coaching.
Mm.
And then even after the phase two training, training is not an occurrence here at FSCI. It's ongoing because on a weekly basis then we still have calls where we have role plays and case studies, and, you know, we coach our coaches on how to better coach their clients. So technology has helped us with that, and it's a great enabler because, again, like I said, it brings training to our franchisees 24/7. So if somebody says, geez, you know, I know Tamara taught me about this rapid impact strategy, I need a refresher, even if it's 2 a.m. or 3 a.m. in the morning, technology just brings that to them whenever you need it. And the same is true for our clients because, like I just mentioned, we bring the EMIS curriculum to them online. So, again, you know, if you were my client and we identified that, you know what, I think you should focus on the leadership section. Why don't you log on after our meeting and immerse yourself in that content? You can do that as a business owner whenever suits you, not during the busy time of your business, you know, again, whenever is good for the business owner. And technology enables that. I mean, you know, 10, 20 years ago, you would have had to take time out of your busy schedule as a business
right.
owner to meet with me and, you know, to discuss these things. And it would just take a lot more time. So not only does technology allow you to do it 24/7 whenever suits you, but it actually leverages the time of our coaches a lot better because a lot of the training happens in between meetings, believe it or not.
Yeah, no, I would agree with that. I think the franchisees are just so much stronger today because of that type of technology, you know, so I think that's fascinating.
Absolutely, and it's just getting better and better every time a day. Too, it's hard to imagine sometimes what lies ahead of us. But
it
know,
is. It's true.
Back at how we did things 5 years ago and what we can do today is just absolutely amazing. But it also, you know, makes it very appealing for international markets. You know, it makes the world
true.
A lot smaller too and accessible.
That's true. How big is the industry, Tamara? Any numbers as far as how big your industry actually is?
The business coaching industry or business consulting industry is a multi-billion dollar market. And, you know, it's interesting. I just read an article yesterday. It said, you know, even though the economy shrinks, the small business market grows. And it's been shown that business coaching in particular is still looking at a 40% increase per year,
wow.
year over year. So that's amazing.
That's
so,
big,
yeah. The economy doesn't affect every single person or every single industry the exact same way. So for us, this is the economy has not impacted the growth rate at all.
That's interesting.
And it seems, I mean, it seems like business coaching is really, I mean, I know it's probably been around for years, but it really seems like it's really starting to make a big impact just, you know, within the last, you know, few years. Starting to see more, just more advertising for this type of service. I would imagine there's so much room for growth because this really hasn't been the norm for businesses to have a coach, say, 20 years ago. So this is kind of,
yeah,
I mean, would you put in that newer category, like mm-hmm. a newer type industry even, right, Tamara?
I would say that's true. I mean, business coaches often get confused with business consultants, but there are huge
right.
differences between consultants and coaches. And you're absolutely right. Even though we as an organization have been doing business coaching for 25 years, even in the earlier years, we had to call ourselves consultants because if we said we're a business coach, people say, you know, what do you mean? What
mm-hmm.
are you talking about?
True.
So the terms definitely become a lot more popular, and people – you know, get life coaches and this type of coach and that type of coach.
Right.
So it's a lot more mainstream nowadays to align yourself with a coach of some kind and especially a business coach. I mean, we like to use the analogy in training a lot, you know, that even the best of the best people align themselves with a coach. I mean,
mm-hmm.
Look at Tiger Woods. You know, he
True.
Has mastered his craft and he still has a coach. So even the best business owners and CEOs should align themselves with a business coach because, you know, it helps you with a different perspective and different disciplines.
Yeah, it's a great
right.
point.
What types of characteristics do you look for in a franchisee, Tamara?
Gosh,
good question,
right?
This
is probably going to sound repetitive,
yeah.
but it is the willingness of an individual to use our system without mm. modification. That is probably the single most important characteristic that we look for. And then, of course, you know, just the nature of our business, we do want individuals who have a strong desire to help. So I would say between following the system and having a strong desire to help, those are the types of characteristics we look for in a successful franchisee.
And I think, obviously, you want some people with some, you know, some nice business experience overall, you know, business ownership, maybe someone who's been through, you know, the good and tough times. You know, is there a certain amount of years that you require for a new AdviCoach franchisee to have been in business for?
You know, one would think and that would be the case, and common wisdom would tell you that, you know, you probably need to have a lot of business experience. But the
right.
beautiful thing about franchising is that it's a replicatable and duplicatable system, and
mm-hmm.
We will train our AdviCoaches on the systems that we've put in place. So, no, it's not certainly – any type of background you have and any type of experience can be leveraged, but it's not essential.
Right. Good. Okay. And maybe talk about training a little bit. How, you know, imagine, you know, top training, you know, with what your company can do to help someone.
Absolutely. As I mentioned before, when we were speaking about technology, really we use a blended approach, a lot of e-learning. So as a franchisee, this is what you can expect. Training is not an occurrence at FSBI or at AdvoCoach. It is ongoing,
right.
Which means that, you know, you have support whenever you need it in order to be able to master your craft and become better as an AdvoCoach, which also means that we can you can push through the learning curve of what it takes to be a successful AdvoCoach a lot faster, because training is just around you all the time, and it's available when you need it and when you're ready to absorb it. So as a new franchisee, here's what it typically looks like. You will start with our onboarding process, which is an online curriculum that is self-paced, that walks you through various aspects that you need to set up your business and also become well-rounded. So all of our AdvoCoaches need to go through our EMIS curriculum. You know, we eat our own dog food, if you want to call it that, too. We immerse
right.
our AdvoCoaches in the content that they're going to be using with business owners, but apply it for themselves on their own very own business, starting from scratch. So that's kind of interesting. That's just a benefit of being an AdvoCoach business or franchisee, because you get to use all the tools we give you access to. Then we bring our franchisees to what we call a phase one training, and this is a six-day intense training program just to immerse them into the system and show them what tools they have available to them as an AdvoCoach. And we also educate them on how to start using this with business owners, and we show them the process there. After they leave the six-day training, as I said, they're in touch, or their regional developers in touch with them on a daily basis, models behavior, gets on phone calls with them. And this, at the same time, we have national meetings scheduled, 1 hour a week, where our AdvoCoaches get to brainstorm, get to role model, get to hear about other client scenarios. And then we, after being in business for approximately 90 days, we bring them back to a phase two where we now have a different frame of reference as they mature in their coaching practice, and we help our AdvoCoaches just fine-tune their craft even more. And then once they're done with phase two, training and ongoing support still continues. The regional developer may not be in touch with them as frequently anymore unless they need it, but we still have the ongoing training sessions on a weekly basis that we touch base with. So it's a pretty rigorous training program, pretty much like a mini MBA for business, I've heard.
Right.
That's fantastic.
Yeah, that weekly ongoing brainstorming, that's great. I mean, that keeps
yeah,
everybody on
that.
Top of everything going on.
Right, and sharing the
and
best practices.
In addition to the online university that we have, where they can download curriculum and need learn on an as-needed basis. You know, again, if I realize that this is my weak spot or that's my weak spot, I can just
right.
listen to the online curriculum over and over and over again.
Yeah, no, I think that's important. What's a typical day like, Tamara, for an AdvoCoach franchisee?
This is where our business model is very interesting, because we have something that we even call a default calendar, where we show how, a franchisee how much time needs to be spent on various aspects of their business. Certainly being familiar with EMIS, most of our, even our franchisees, gravitate to wanting to be the technicians in their business, where, you know, oh, I want to be a business coach, so I can't wait to coach businesses. But
right.
a big part of their day needs to be spent at marketing activities, driving business through the doors, creating awareness that you do exist in your local community. So we schedule their days. Obviously, there's flexibility as far as what happens when, but a big part of the day is spent on business development, then client acquisition, servicing the client, and then last but not least, we actually suggest a certain amount of time a day and a week that a coach needs to spend working on their business versus working in their business. So a day is broken down into those four basic principles. So that also avoids our franchisees from going through what we call a feast and famine cycle, because
right.
they constantly stoke their pipeline and they don't get into a scenario where, you know, they're servicing clients, and for whatever reason the clients go away and they look back and there's just nothing. So it's a very balanced approach that we teach our franchisees to follow, which is not just good in our business, it's just good business practice in general.
And that must be pretty satisfying. It's just interesting, just talking to so many different types of businesses that an Abbey Coach franchisee will learn, helping different businesses. And imagine that the business coaches are learning a lot as they go along, talking with all these different industries and companies.
Tamara, we have about like 30 seconds. What's the best way for our listeners to get more information on becoming an Abbey Coach franchisee?
Best way would be to go to our website, really easy, www.advicoach.com.
Okay,
and again,
good.
Donna, Marty, thank you so much for having me on your show.
No,
today.
It's our pleasure, Tamara. Thank you. And we actually have a link up on our show page as well, so listeners can actually just click on that and go right to the AdviCoach website.
Excellent. Thank you so much.
Tamara.
Thanks so much, Tamara. Have a great
Good
day.
Good work. Take care.
Bye-bye.
Great show, huh, Don?
Yes. Yeah, very interesting.
Very informative, you know, and again, I like the partnership that they have going with the E-Myth. You know, I think that's
right.
very important. It's definitely a strength. So,
right.
And you and I are certainly big fans of the E-Myth, so, which
right.
is a fantastic guest. So, again, 100th show next week, 2-hour special, and we're going to have clips from Michael Gerber, Warren Gresius, some of the biggest
people
names
in the franchising industry.
George
yeah.
Native, Don Johnson, right? So, hope you get your voice back, Don. Good show, and I'll see you next week.
Okay, good job, Marty.
Thanks, Don. Take care. Bye-bye.